coming up on All Access.
Come on, baby. Come on, man. It's not so fun, huh?
The Blitz Collins gets the work, but he flips the rush. He probably comes back. It's like ball three. Ball is loose. And it's out. Woo! Wilford was there at the 45.
This tackle. A tackle, a sack, a pause fumble, and a recovered fumble. All the same play.
You know, I kind of got a little teary-eyed, but because I was out for so long. It was the longest I'd ever been out with any injury. And it really made me, you know, sit back and just, you know, not take the game, you know, for granted.
But they're pretty consistent. They're physically and mentally tough. They come to work every day, ready to try to improve. Don't make a lot of excuses. Just try to play hard and get better, and I really respect that.
The regular season is over. The Patriots await their first-round playoff foe. Hello and welcome to Patriots All Access presented by GEICO. I'm Steve Burton. Happy New Year to you all. A week off the heel and prepare is what the Patriots face this week. And while the number one seed in the conference has been secured, there's still much work to be done. We'll talk about the state of the team, as well as look ahead to the possible playoff opponents. But we began with the sights and sounds of the Patriots' regular season finale against the Bills.
The sounds of the game are brought to you by Bose, the official sound of the New England Patriots.
Let's go!
Go, baby! Go, man. It's not so fun, huh?
Greatest game on earth. One last time.
Let's go
today, baby.
Happy New Year to you. Right. Great fundamentals, great focus, great intention.
Good luck.
There's always something to play for. The biggest thing today is we play for each other.
Captain snapped at Morton, dropping back, throws to the middle of the end zone, touchdown Buffalo as Robert Woods makes the grab on his knee.
Come on, guys. Go answer, huh? Let's go answer.
And a give goes to Brandon Bolden, big hole right side, cuts it outside across the 26, driving the legs and eventually twisted to the turf by Corey Graham.
We've got to make sure every chance we get to run it, but you see what happened. If we block a little, we're going to run the football off.
Tom takes the shotgun snap, back two steps, rolling right, backpedaling, throwing underneath, incomplete, had to unload eventually.
Go!
The snap delivered, the placement down, the kick sailing through the uprights is good. Where the Blitz Collins gets to Orton, but he slips the rush. Collins comes back, it's left, ball three, ball is loose, and a dive. Wilford was there at the 45, a second Patriot defender, Collins. After the loose ball, and it was Jamie Collins!
Let me see if I got this right. That's a missed tackle, a tackle, a sack, a caused fumble, and a recovered fumble. All the same play. Nice job.
Play fake by Garoppolo, under pressure, wrapped up in the pocket, runs away from Hughes, scrambling left, pulls up with a pumping, take it outside, chased by Kyle Williams, and gets to the far side where he's drilled by Rod Brooks.
I didn't get a chance to see it. I just watched out.
Alright. Understand, just watch that safety.
I got you.
It doesn't, keep moving, you just go right through him. He'll knock him right down. You understand what I'm saying? Look, if you miss, just go. Go right through him. All right. He's not moving his feet, it's all upper body. Just bang, run right through.
Shotgun snap. Orton pressured by Ninkovic. And then pressured by Wilford, along with Hakeem Ayers. Today, the Bills win it over the Patriots by a 17-9 final.
All right, well, now we're joined by Mike and Paul for our first of our two panel segments. Mike Reese and Paul Perrill, first of all, Happy New Year to you guys.
Happy New Year, Steve.
All right, here's where I want to start right out of the gate. We've been led to believe in the past that playing your best football in December is the right way to go for football teams, especially this football team. They have not played their best football in December. How concerned are you guys about that?
Yeah, I mean, I have some concern, not maybe as much as some others. I feel like the offense was playing at such an incredible level that it was really not sustainable. You know, in November, they were scoring, it seemed, 40-plus points at will. You can't do that all the time. But I've also seen plenty of instances, especially recently in the playoffs. It doesn't necessarily mean the team. I think everybody looks at the Giants and says, well, you got hot at the end, and then they rolled through the playoffs. There's just as many instances where a team like Baltimore got hot in the playoffs and then rolled to a Super Bowl. So it's going to come down to who plays best in January. Concerned? Yeah, mild concern, but not overly worried.
Yeah, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I mean, I don't think they've played very well the last month.
They have.
But if I saw other teams playing better, and if the Patriots weren't at home with home field advantage, though, at the playoffs, I think my concern level, if that's the word to use, for the team would be much higher, Steve. But I look at every other team in the AFC playoffs, and I see they have issues. I could go right down the line. But the fact the Patriots are at home, and I feel like they're going to get their guys back, I think they're going
to
be okay.
To Mike's point, we brought up a couple of weeks ago after that Jets win. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a tough, tough game, 17-16. And you look at a lot of the other playoff teams that had tough, tough games that weekend, lost them. You know, Baltimore lost to Houston. Denver lost to Cincinnati. To Mike's point, who in the AFC is playing really well to combat what you think the Patriots are struggling at? And I agree, the Patriots have not played as well in December.
And who do you look at that you would say they could come into Gillette Stadium and beat the Patriots? I'm not saying that the Patriots are a shoe-in, but I don't think there's anyone you look at and say, oh, that team definitely right now is at a much higher level.
Will Josh McDaniels be here next year? Or will he take a head coaching job coming up?
Yeah, I'm intrigued by the teams that he's been tied to. San Francisco and Atlanta, I think, are two jobs that are pretty good jobs. I mean, I don't think every job in the NFL, people always say, well, there are only 32 of them. Well, I mean, I kind of cut it in half of the jobs that I would actually want.
Sure. Right.
And I think that in both cases, you have when teams that have won recently and they have quarterbacks in place that you can win with. You know, Colin Kaepernick went to a Super Bowl. Matt Ryan has won a lot of games, can't quite get over the hump. I don't think those are bad jobs, and I think if he gets offered one of them, he's going to take one of them.
I believe that to be the case as well, and I look at it from his perspective. You know, when you have a shot at your second one, when the first one doesn't go as well as you hope, like it didn't in Denver,
absolutely,
you want to be very choosy, you want to be very careful, and you also want to give it a little time, Steve. So 2010, he gets let go in Denver. He goes to St. Louis for that year. Then he ends up here. I think he needed a little time, I'm assuming, to process, okay, where did it go wrong? When I get my next shot, you know, what will I do differently? And I think enough time has passed that if he gets offered one of these jobs, I think he would take
it. And it's three more years back with Belichick, too.
Last question. It's a quick one. Will McDaniels have Belichick's blessing to leave?
I would think so. I think the fact that he came back told you that he had the blessing the first time. And this wasn't, you know, he didn't go to the Jets. We can all agree. He didn't raid the coaching staff.
Uh-huh.
So I think those are the kinds of things that would get you on Bill's bad side. I
agree with everything Paul said.
All right, guys, well, don't go far. We'll see you later on in the show. Well, more Patriots All Access right after this. Stay with us.
Coming up on All Access,
we sit down with Patriots special teams captain Matthew Slater.
We're certainly excited about our opportunity to be in postseason play.
And later, we look back at one of the most difficult periods of time during the Kraft family's ownership of the team.
He is a man who helped us save football, and we're so gracious for that.
You're watching Patriots All Access.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Putnam Investments, a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through new ways of thinking. And by Gillette FlexBall, the official shave of the New England Patriots. And by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
When the Patriots enjoyed a bye after the win against Denver back in November, it was a chance to rest and recharge their batteries. As Dan Roach tells us, this bye week is much different.
It's been all business here in Foxborough, bye week or no bye week. We know it's a one-game elimination. You know, we're going to come out here and do whatever we can do, you know, to make ourselves better so that we don't be in that situation.
The Patriots have been to three straight AFC championship games, so they know what it takes to get there. And they also know how hard it is to be that last team standing.
We look ahead to it with confidence, knowing that we are capable of playing the best teams and playing really well against some of the best teams. All year we've done that, and now we just got to do it, you know, in a single elimination tournament.
The team had a good week of practice, which included an intra-squad scrimmage on Wednesday, which featured the blue jerseys battling the white jerseys.
The white won. We won. We won by a field goal. You know, it was fun. It was a great way to keep the guys competing, you know, and then get some out of practice. He set it up for us to compete. I think it was a great idea.
Meanwhile, a major story this week was Tom Brady reportedly restructuring his contract again in order to free up some money for the team to re-sign players. As for Brady, it's still all about winning.
You got to love to win. I think that's a great motivation, is to get on the field and try to win. It's fun to do. Certainly for me, I think the motivation is to never let my teammates down. I want to go out there and be the best I can be for them. And, you know, those guys work really hard, and I never want to be the reason why we lose a game. You know, you earn the respect of your teammates by your work ethic and what you're able to accomplish on a daily basis. So that's what football is all about to me.
Well, here's an interesting stat when it comes to this defense and the postseason. The Patriots closed out their regular season in strong fashion. In fact, the defense did not allow a second-half touchdown over the final six games. In fact, the Patriots outscored their opponents 67-12 in the second half of those six games. So good things so far for the defense as they head into the postseason. From the CBS scene in Foxborough for Patriots All Access, I'm Dan Roach.
Hi, Roachie. Thank you very much. I'm joined now by special teams captain Matthew Slater. And I just want to talk about the state of the team, the mood of the team right now. It's got to be a pretty confident mood, wouldn't you say? Or is it?
We're certainly excited about our opportunity to be in postseason play. I think we've put ourselves in pretty decent position up to this point. But I think our focus this week is just on us, on getting better, improving upon the little things that are going to give us a chance to be competitive down the stretch. And that's just where our focus is right now.
How do you go about doing that, getting better, focusing on you? Do you look in the mirror? Do you look at your mistakes? Do you also look at your successes?
I think you do. You look at your mistakes and you look at your successes. I think a lot of players will go back and watch film from, you know, all 16 games and see what we didn't do very well and then go and try to address some of those issues and see if we can do them a little bit better. And then the things that we did do well, how can we continue to do them well? So self-evaluation is big this week.
You've been around for a while now. You being the special teams captain, is this the best special teams unit? Would you say you played with?
You know, it's tough to make comparisons because, you know, I have love for every group that I've been a part of every year. But this year, we've been able to do some unbelievable things the board. I think, and it goes from guys like Brandon Bolden all the way to guys like Vince Wilfork. Everybody has really stepped in and contributed and played at a high level, and we've made some big plays this year that have given us a chance to win a lot of ball games.
I know you're a humble guy, but how much pride do you take, especially being the leader of this group, to keep this unit together, to keep this unit pumped up and making a difference?
Well, I certainly think it's going to be important for us down the stretch. If we can continue to play at the level that we have been throughout the regular season, when the playoffs come around, it'll be good for our football team. It'll really help us. So I'm definitely going to be on the guys and on myself to continue to try to take every day as its own and prepare hard and work hard and see where that gets us.
You hold these guys accountable, don't you?
I do, and they hold me accountable. So it goes both ways, you know, and I think that's the beauty of our group.
You have inherited the job of breaking down the team. And that's some big shoes to fill because Teddy Bruschi used to do that in the locker room. What's that like for you, and how much fun is that?
It's definitely a blast, and you know, I have so much respect for Teddy, having played with him, and you know, just followed his career and what he was able to do here. So, I don't know if I'm as qualified as Teddy was, but it certainly is something that we have a lot of fun with, and it's even more fun when we're doing it after a win. I tell you that.
Take me through it. I know it's a simple thing, but yet it's not a simple thing. You call everybody together. You know, what happens?
I think it's just kind of a time for us as a family to reflect upon the previous 60 minutes of football that we've just played, and you know, whether it's good, bad, or ugly, We're a family, and we're in this together, and I think it's important that we continue to remind ourselves of that, that we're a family, and we're in this 1 week at a time, one game at a time, and we're going to see where it takes us.
Good luck in the playoffs.
Thank you, sir.
Happy New Year to you.
Same to you.
Matthew Slater, I guess. We'll be back with more Patriots All Access right after this.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Merry New Year! It's the first year edition of the SBLI Point Counterpoint Debate. So let's get to a really hot topic right now. Who is this team's MVP?
I have a strict definition of what a most valuable player is, and on this team, it's Darrelle Revis. He transformed this defense into one that can win a championship. And when's the last time we could say that?
Gronk is the man, and it is very simple. When he plays and when he's 100%, the offense dominates. Early in the year, part-time player, you had a half an offense. It got great in the middle of the season when Gronk hit his stride. And don't just believe me how important Gronk is. Ask Bill Belichick. He put Gronk in bubble wrap, kept him on the sideline for the finale. Now that's value.
All right, I think there's three legitimate candidates this year. You got Gronk, you got Brady, and you got Revis. Revis has flat-out changed that defense. Gronk has been unbelievable as far as how he impacts the team, and more importantly, how he impacts Brady. Normally, the MVP would always go to the quarterback. But this year, being 2015, I'm awarding the MVP for the New England Patriots, come on, to Rob Gronkowski. Come on, tight end to tight end. I know you say, listen, it should go to the quarterback, but this year, more importantly, no one's been more important than Rob Gronkowski. I'm Christian Fourier with this week's edition of the SBLI Point Counterpoint Debate.
For the most compelling Patriots talk in season, listen to Patriots Football Weekly in Progress every Tuesday through Thursday from noon to 2 p.m.
Time now for Coffee with the Coach. Brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access. Time to sit down with the coach here during the bye week, and it's great to have another opportunity to sit here during the bye week, coach. And seems like just yesterday we were sitting here week one getting ready to talk about the Miami Dolphins and everything that, you know, they could potentially do in the game. What have you learned the most about your team throughout the previous 17 weeks, so to speak?
Well, they're pretty consistent. They're physically and mentally tough. They come to work every day. They grind it out. And they're tough. We've had moments that have been good and not so good, but regardless, they've always kept competing. They've always been, you know, ready to work, ready to try to improve. Don't make a lot of excuses. Just try to play hard and get better. And I really respect that.
It's one thing to say that when your team's obviously on a hot streak, or say you run off six games in a row. But I remember you saying that after 4 weeks, where maybe people on the outside thought things are pretty darn dire within these walls. But yet you told me that same thing in week four, and it's pretty impressive your team's been able to carry that through the remaining 12 weeks.
Well, I think they've been able to improve. I think that's really a key thing, that they've been able to improve individually and kind of week by week. It's not always perfect, but we keep doing little things better. We keep trying to improve incrementally, you know, in all three phases of the game. And there have been times where, you know, one unit or the other has – you know, maybe had more production, but it's balanced out. We've got production from all three of our units on a pretty consistent basis, and they just keep working to get better, and they have. They've improved individually, and we've improved, you know, as a football team. So hopefully we can keep doing that through the bye week and in the next week.
Regardless of which team comes in here and faces you in a divisional round, you're getting a good football team. You played two of the potential opponents. But you go back to this past week and reading a lot and hearing you talk throughout the week, three really good hard practices. Fair to say that you guys are really working on individual stuff as to what makes your team better as opposed to opponents?
Yes, absolutely. I think, you know, right now the focus in this bye week is the New England Patriots, and then we'll shift that to whoever we play and ramp up our film study in preparation for that opponent. But there are things that we have done and are working on that we need to do better no matter who we play.
Okay, let's talk about, I don't want to get into details about Josh McDaniels, but there are some teams interested, and you've gone through this before, but
from the perspective of you guys being so successful year after year, is it flattering to have other franchises, you know, covet maybe some of your coaching staff?
Well, I think we have very good staff. I think we have a lot of very, very capable people, and I'm fortunate to have them on my staff. So, you know, I'm sure that they're recognized by other teams, other organizations in the league. So, yeah, that doesn't surprise me. Those guys do. We have a lot of coaches that do a really good job, and as I said, I'm fortunate to have them.
It's a heck of a staff. I mean, you get to have, what, 6, 7, 8 weeks off during the year? People don't understand the amount of time assistant coaches put into it at this level.
It is. It's a hard job. There's a lot of pressure. It's, you know, constant grind every week, but it beats working.
All right, Coach, great stuff. Good luck. We'll see you next week in the divisional round.
All right, thanks, Scott.
All right, good stuff. More of Patriots All Access back right after this.
Coming up on All Access.
Chandler Jones talks about the mindset as the Patriots prepare for the playoffs.
Pay attention to detail, and you can't make any mistakes because one mistake can send you home.
And later, Coach Belichick looks at some of the most important Patriots plays of the regular season.
So, you know, he ends up really attracting the coverage of four guys.
You're watching Patriots All Access.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
The NFL, the most successful sports league in America, had ground to a halt in the spring of 2011. For the next 4.5 months, the talk of free agent signings had been preempted by labor unrest, and reports of team OTAs had been replaced by the league's CBA. Tensions were building as the 2011 season was nearing. For the NFL, Robert Kraft was an important principal in the labor negotiations, but he had much more important matters to tend to at the time. Myra Kraft, his partner, best friend, and wife of 48 years, was valiantly battling cancer. She needed him. So did the league. With her blessing and encouragement, the Patriots owner shuffled from hospital bed to negotiating table and back for weeks. In a press conference to announce the CBA agreement, Kraft's gracious dignity among the most trying of circumstances was identified as a catalyst that helped end the stalemate in the negotiations.
A special thanks to Myra Kraft, who, even in her weakest moment, allowed Mr. Kraft to come and fight this out. And without him, this deal does not get done. He is a man who helped us save football, and we're so gracious for that. So thank you very much. We really appreciate it. Thank you, man.
This photo, instantly iconic, was emblematic. It was a bittersweet day. While fans were celebrating the victorious return of football, the man who helped save the season was mourning the greatest loss of his life. In crafting a legacy, even with a broken heart, the Patriots owner mended a league.
This player profile is brought to you by Pepsi. Pepsi and the New England Patriots, a wicked good team.
He missed 6 games during the regular season, the first significant amount of time he's missed in his 4-year NFL career. The Patriots will need a pass rush this postseason, and Chandler Jones is one of the men most responsible for providing one. Jackie Britton spoke with a Patriots pass rush specialist.
For almost 2 months, an injury kept Chandler Jones away from the thing he loves most, football. And for the first time in his young career, he was challenged in a different way.
Well, you were out of commission for a little while. How tough was that for you?
It was very tough, and not really the tough of missing football, but even missing, you know, being on the sideline with my teammates, the ups and the downs, and, you know, but it feels good to be back with my team. It really does.
This was your first real stretch of time away from the game. How much did you miss it?
I miss it a lot, but I also use it as an advantage. It was very advantageous for me being out. You know, I try to use a negative and make it into a positive. And with that, I mean, you know, I became more of a student of the game, you know. You know, I was studying even with Akeem Ayers. I was studying what he was doing, trying to put some of his game into mine.
You've mentioned before your relationship with Vince Wilfork. Did you lean on him at all during this process, knowing that he's gone through something similar?
I remember certain things that Vince did, you know, around the facility. And when he was out, you know, he was always seen. You know, he was in our meeting rooms, and he was sometimes out at practice when he was able to walk. So, you know, when I was out, I was always in the meeting room trying to add my two cents and even becoming more of a student of the game, like I said previously.
I think when a lot of people think of a player missing time on the field, it's all physical. But how much of that was mental, and how were you challenged differently?
That's a really good question. But, you know, I feel like mental and physical, they kind of tie into each other, you know, because the body and the mind, they really work together. And so my first game back when we played against Miami, there was definitely a physical, you know, I was a little bit fatigued, but our strength and conditioning coaches, they did a good job of conditioning me. But as far as the mental thing, you know, you always could do everything on a piece of paper, but when you're out on the field, it's totally different. So that's one thing that walkthroughs and things of that nature will help you with.
When he stepped back on the football field for the first time, he gave it everything he had.
Hand off goes to Thomas, head in the backfield, and an outstanding play there by Chandler Jones. Under pressure, and down he goes, and Chandler Jones and Dante Hightower collaborate.
You mentioned that first game back against Miami. Just describe the range of emotions you went through. I mean, getting ready, suiting up. How did you feel that first game back?
Yeah, I had said in a previous interview that I had got a bit emotional, you know, going through the whole pregame process and things like that. You know, I kind of got a little teary-eyed, but because I was out for so long, and it was the longest I'd ever been out with any injury. And it really made me, you know, sit back and just, you know, not take the game more, you know, for granted, as people would say. But it felt good to be back out there with my teammates and just to make plays again and just to get that confidence to, you know, make plays again. So it was a good thing, and I was glad to be back out there.
Rob Ninkovich seem to have a friendly competition. Do you guys keep tabs on each other when it comes to sacks?
Always. And that's funny. That's a category, sacks. Rob definitely is always talking about, oh, I have more sacks than you. And I was like, Rob, I didn't even play the whole season. But, you know, I leave it to him.
Are there any wagers, anything ever on the line with that?
No, which is very competitive.
Just bragging rights?
Yeah, bragging rights for the most part.
Entering the postseason here. Mm-hmm. Is the vibe different during the week at all, knowing that the stakes are higher now?
Personally, I feel that way. Personally, you know, not to speak on anyone else's behalf but mine. Personally, I feel like this, I mean, it's you lose, you go home. So I feel like you have to pay attention to detail and you can't make any mistakes because one mistake can send you home.
He may have the weekend off, but the Jones brothers are staying busy.
No game. Any chance we'll be going to Las Vegas to see your brother?
I'm not, actually. I'm not going to the fight. I'll be watching it. I might order it at home, invite some teammates over, and we'll watch it, order some pizza or something. So.
Do you guys ever compete with each other? I mean, as brothers, I know it's a different category, but do you ever kind of compete?
Well, he always shoves it in my face that he has a world title, and I don't. So, I mean, that's pretty competitive, but we'll see.
I'm Jackie Britton. The postseason is here, so let's take a look at the playoff picture in the AFC. On Saturday, the Ravens and the Steelers will duke it out. If Baltimore wins, there's nothing confusing here. The Patriots will host the Ravens at Gillette Stadium on January 10th. However, if the Steelers win on Saturday, the Patriots will face the winner of Sunday's matchup between the Bengals and the Colts. Everybody got that? There will be a quiz later on. All right, next up, Scott Zolak and Bill Belichick have a treat for you.
Since we're here on the bye, we have no Belistrator for you, but we do have a special treat. Some of the greatest plays the Patriots made throughout the course of the year, broken down by Coach Belichick.
Defensively after the kickoff, again, a similar situation here with Hightower coming up the middle on the blitz. Does a good job of breaking the pocket, getting a hold of Cutler. You can see Cutler's kind of trying to make a play here. And just as he you know, brings the ball up. Moore kind of hits him from the back. Easily hits him from the front, gets his hand, pulls the ball out. It's on the ground. Rob gets up very quickly. You know, Long makes a good play here. If he touches him down, then it'd be down by contact here at the 15-yard line. But Rob pops up quickly. Again, defense reacts here. We get a couple quick blocks here from Chung, Easley.
It's nice. I mean, Browner. You got eight guys around the ball. I mean, what is it with Ninkovich, too? It's like 12 of these. You know what I mean? Yeah. Right place, right time. You know, it's more than luck if you always find yourself in the right spot.
Yeah,
you know?
It sure is. Again, this is an interesting play here. So this is Gronkowski at the end of the line, and the safeties obviously have him doubled, and the linebacker is also on him. So that's three. And then as Rob runs across here, the linebacker on the backside, you know, also pulls off. So you can see the safety starts with him. He pulls off. Moore pulls off. Ward takes him. Irving takes him. And Marshall takes him. So, you know, he ends up really attracting the coverage of four guys. And, again, Shane slips through the middle there, and they have nobody on him. Once again, you know, good protection. Nice job by Brady of stepping up in the pocket. And, again, this ball either has to be a touchdown or an incomplete pass, or the half's going to be over. So, again, really good situational football by Tom to, you know, find the open guy, get the play executed. Really one of the big plays in the game. Secondary here, this is, you know, Weddle down in the box, usually hanging around on Gronkowski, and then Flowers and Gilchrist back here at free safety. And, you know, Tom throws a play-action pass. You can see they got 10 guys within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage. So, you know, they're all down there tight, you know, loading up on the run. Tom's able to, you know, give a good play-action fake here. We get pretty good protection. Julian's able to get in there behind Weddle, and Tom does a good job of getting the ball around Weddle. Julian goes up on the catch. You can see Gilchrist here, kind of a key part of the play is when he bites up on the play action and he feels LaFell climbing on him, that, you know, he turns and, you know, bails out of there, and that puts him in a poor position to come back and make the tackle after Edelman's catch. So Flowers misses him, Gilchrist misses him, you know, Julian makes a great run here, and then I think really one of the best parts about this play is, first of all, LaFell coming back on Sharice Wright, you know, kind of helping out the screen right out of the play. And then you see LeGarrette after the fake really hustling. See, LeGarrette runs pretty well. But really hustling down the field here and ends up, you know, getting a block on the 5-yard line. But that, you know, that's the kind of effort that LaFell and Blunt and obviously Edelman with the ball there, that's the kind of extra effort that allows you to make those kind of big plays. You see a lot of guys, you know, a lot of guys hustling here throughout the play, and you know, good football. Well, this is a good one to start with. This is the field goal block by Jamie Collins, and this is really a good team effort play here. We get Alan Branch coming in here and kind of riding the tackle down. Silica comes and knocks the tight end out. And Jamie shoots that gap, and with the ball on the hash mark, the flight of the ball is usually kind of over the offensive guard area. So Jamie does a great job here of coming through the line and then flattening out and getting right to that kind of right to that target spot there. So getting penetration is half the battle. The other half the battle is being in the right spot to block it. And then both our corners here, this is Devin on the defensive right side, and Kyle on the defensive left, as they look at it, are in perfect position really to handle the block kick. So there it is, and whichever way it comes out, then those guys are in position to scoop and score. Kyle does a good job of that. Devin comes in there and just you know, takes enough of fields to let Kyle get started, and they're not going to catch him.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Putnam Investments. Putnam, new ways of thinking for financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide. And by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots. Patriots All Access is brought to you by GEICO.
15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
So awesome.
He was the inspiration for one of 2014's biggest charitable endeavors. Peter Frates is the very public face of ALS, and the Ice Bucket Challenge began in his honor. On Sunday, Frates celebrated his birthday here at Gillette Stadium as a guest of Patriots owner Robert Kraft. 68,000 people had a chance to wish him a happy birthday.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access. Mike and Paul are back with us, and let's talk about the scenarios, because if Baltimore wins, if Baltimore beats Pittsburgh, it's Baltimore. But Baltimore is that boogeyman team that that scares everybody around here. Yeah. How do the Patriots match up against Baltimore?
Yeah, well, it's one of the teams that they haven't faced, this particular season. And I do understand why some people have trepidation with Baltimore, because I do think that they're a mentally tough team. Mm-hmm. They're well coached, and they don't shrink in the moment. They've won a lot of playoff games on the road under John Harbaugh. So that specifically, that element of Baltimore would be a concern to me. I just don't think it's an overly talented roster right now. I think they have a good defense. I think their offense struggles at times. I think you need to score some points when you go, especially when you come to Foxborough, because I think I'm pretty sure that Tom Brady and company will put some points on the board. Baltimore, to me, is a team that should be respected but not feared.
Yeah, well, I don't think you should fear anyone. I know we'll talk about that. But I love what Paul said, just that they've done it before. Because mm-hmm. to me, that's what separates them from the other two possible opponents in the Bengals and Colts, who are still trying to take that next step. Here's what would concern me from an X's and O's perspective, sort of putting on an amateur scouting cap.
Sure.
The Ravens' weakness is their secondary. And I just haven't seen enough right now of late from the Patriots' passing attack that I feel like they can really exploit that weakness. And that's the one thing in that game where you talk about matchups, and everything in this league mm-hmm. is about matchups. That would give me just a little bit of pause to say, man, you know what? Even though the Ravens are weak in that area, maybe the Patriots aren't equipped, whether it's with breakdowns in protection or the inability to threaten the outside parts of the field, the deep parts of the field, that maybe they couldn't exploit that weakness.
Okay, so if Baltimore loses to Pittsburgh, it's the winner of Indy and Cincinnati. And out of all the quarterbacks, the three quarterbacks left, when you got Flacco, Dalton, and who am I thinking of?
Andrew Luck.
Right. Which quarterback scares you the most?
Yeah, Luck would be the guy that could get hot, but he hasn't done it yet. You know, back to the Baltimore situation where they have done it. Joe Flacco has gotten hot in the playoffs. He went 11 touchdowns, no picks, en route to a Super Bowl title. So we know he can do it. We don't know Luck can because he hasn't been able to do it in the playoffs. This is one of those matchups that, if you could put Luck on Cincinnati, that would be a team I'd be afraid of.
Yeah.
But you don't do that. It doesn't work that way.
Let's put all three of those teams over here in a bubble. And let's say that the Patriots' biggest opponent is the man in the mirror, the Patriots themselves. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would totally agree with it. And I think, unlike in some of the years past, where the Patriots, you know, sort of wanted to play the game on their terms and, get some points, get out in front and take a lead. Well, I think they're a little bit more balanced now. I think the defense has been much better. They've been able to win some games when they've only scored, in the low 20s. All is not lost if Tom Brady doesn't have a great game. And I think in the postseason, if the offense wasn't clicking, they went home. This year, against most of these teams, I think they can afford to have maybe an okay day on offense and still win. That, to me, is the biggest difference. I totally agree. If the Patriots show up and play Patriots football, they will go through the AFC without losing.
This sets up so nicely for them, being at home for the two games. And I'll focus on one area that I think is the key, Steve, and it's the offensive line. And I think as long as that unit can get back to doing what it was doing a little bit, maybe a month ago, I think they're going to be fine. And a couple keys there. Left guard Dan Connolly, they need him back. We've seen that. I think Sebastian Vollmer, the right tackle, will be fine. He'll be ready to go. They rested him as a precaution in the regular season finale. But it's the left tackle, Nate Solder, who I think you guys would agree with me, hasn't been great this year. I think maybe has dipped a little bit. But the concern there is that the fallback plan doesn't look any better. Marcus Cannon, that was a little concerning to see the way he performed against the Bills in the regular season finale. So I think if you could just get that group back and get the running game going a little bit more, I think it would really help.
Well, we always end this show with predictions, so I'm going to put you guys on the spot again.
I was hoping I wouldn't have to be wrong this week.
Which team will it be?
Oh, wow. Which team will it be? I'm going to go with Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati is going to go to Indy and win, and I think Pittsburgh is going to hold serve at home.
I'll go with Baltimore. I think with Le'Veon Bell being injured for the Steelers, that's big. I think the Ravens go in there and surprise them, and we'll know our opponent Saturday night, and we'll be up late scouting those Ravens.
All right, guys.
You go.
Great job as usual, guys. Thank you very much. Well, that will do it for this week's edition of Patriots All Access. For Mike Reese and Paul Perillo, I'm Steve Burton. Happy New Year, everyone.